Today is the greatest adventure of my life. This is Dr. Harilla Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. Today is the greatest adventure of my life. Now, why would I say today is the greatest adventure of my life when I haven't even the vaguest idea what's coming off on this adventure? What's going to happen? I have no idea what's going to happen. All I know is that it's a great adventure. It's a lot of fun. Now, if I approach all of my life from that point of view, then that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the greatest adventure of my life. Now, what makes up adventures in our life? What makes up times in our life when we'd like to live forever? Times in our life when we'd like it to go on and on and on and on. Think about it. And think about what you really mean by saying something like that. Here you are sitting at the beach, and you're watching a perfect sunset. And the sun is just sort of hanging on the edge of the horizon. And you're thinking, oh, that's so beautiful. That could be there forever and ever and ever. And you just watch it. And if you got someone with you that you love, you're just holding them and saying, isn't that glorious? Isn't that beautiful? And if you have no one there with you, then you have the real person that you love. Mm-hmm. And then you say, yeah, this is the greatest. They are things that you cannot really share. The greatest adventures of your life, you can never really share. Because if someone is there, they're seeing it through their eyes and their world and their feelings. And if you're there, you're seeing it through your eyes, your world and your feeling and your attitude. And it may be quite different from your companions. So the greatest adventure of our life, of my life, are things that happen to me. Now, I go back in thought, for instance, and I'm thinking of the time when Faith and I and Mark were driving through Texas. And Mark was 6 years old, 5, 6 years old or something like that. And he was sitting in the back of our convertible car, and in the back seat. And he was just having a great old time sitting back there with the guitar and with some of the items that we had back there. And we're driving through Texas, and Texas is a long thing to drive through. And as you're driving along, there's nothing to see. You don't see cattle out there. You might see them here and there in little flocks, but that's all. You don't see fields of waving grain or what have you. You might see wheat. You might see something special in certain areas. But on the overall, the land just goes on and on and on, endlessly on and on. Well, I was feeling very good and having a good time. And so I took the guitar, and I started singing songs. And I sang songs about the telephone poles, which were ever there and everywhere. And I sang about the telephone poles and how the telephone poles had stories to tell and how they were carrying messages all over Texas and how the governor was talking on that line up there to, you know, his secretary someplace over here, and how this my aunt, who we were going to visit in one place in Texas, was talking to my uncle somewhere else out on the field, you know. And I'm just singing all these different songs. Now, as I'm saying it to you, I'm reliving it. Now, I tell people, don't do that. Don't relive the past. But yet, as I'm reliving the past, I'm reliving it in fast forward. Because all the things I told you, it took several days to transpire on our trip because of the length of time, the distance, and the attitudes. And Faith was not always totally harmonious with looking at a bunch of telephone poles and hearing me sing da-da-da-bum-bum, da-da-da-bum-bum, you know, as each telephone pole. And the telephone poles are going on by, and Herb, try something else. She didn't say that, but I feel that she could have, because I'm sure that I was probably a little overbearing with it. But as far as Mark was concerned, didn't bother him at all. He had his own little world that he was working on, and he had his mind going in his own little projects. You see, today is the greatest adventure of my life. And whatever I festoon the adventure of my life, the day with, that's what I enjoy and I am, and that's what the type of things that makes it great. Now, do I have to go anywhere to have that adventure? Do I have to be somewhere else? I just told you about my trip through Texas. And we were on our way down into, I believe it was down to Mexico City at that time, or wherever it was going. Well, we were going to see our uncle in Texas. But that was another trip we had when we went down to Mexico. And Mark wasn't born yet. And we were in our Nash 1941 car at that time. And it's quite different. Now, see, here I'm bringing together adventures from, you know, 10, 20 years apart, and putting them all together mentally in one. And I'm enjoying them and having the greatest adventure of my life, because they were wonderful. And they're timeless. They're timeless. I put the one after Mark was born before the one before he was born. And it didn't bother me. It didn't bother my mind or my thinking at all. Did you notice that? It didn't make me say, whoops, you can't do that. You got this out of order. You see, you don't fight with yourself. When you have your great adventures... Another time, we stopped late at night to put up our tent and go to bed. And so we pulled over and put up our tent, had a nice sleep. We woke up in the morning. We were at the trisection of three highways, right in the middle. And trucks were going by here, trucks going by here, trucks going by here. This was the busiest place we could have chosen in the world, so to speak. And we didn't know it. We just saw a peaceful place. We happened to pull off at a time where there was no traffic and went to sleep. And we woke in the morning, there it was. And it was the greatest adventure of life. And then we made a little fire on our fire stove, and we heated some water and made some breakfast. And Mark was looking, Mark was along on that one too, and he was looking around and seeing all these trucks and seeing all these things. He says, boy, this is really a busy place. And to get back on the highway, it took quite a little bit of practice, because there was so much traffic, because it was morning now, and everybody was on the run again. But you see, the greatest adventure of our life is timeless. It doesn't have a date. It doesn't have anything. When you think about it, the time when I had gotten out of the Navy and gotten out of school, and I went up north to Mother's place up there on Lake Rice Lake in Ironwood, and it was just really great. It was really great. I was all by myself, and I had my typewriter with a green ribbon in it. You know how green ribbons are?
I like fashion.
Yeah, that was a fashion at the time. And it's a little portable Royal typewriter. And I typed on the train so proudly in the little cabin. And it was wonderful. And I'm telling you, in consolidating the ideas together in points, that here I was up on the 300 acres with... 200 acres around the lake and 2 miles of river frontage on each side of the river, and nobody up there. And it was spring, and the ice was melting off the lake, and the snow was going away. And I was just so happy to be there. And I took off all my clothes, and I ran out in the snow, and I ran out across the lake, and I did all these things. Stupid thing to do, you know. I could have fallen through, and who would have pulled me out? If anybody, they find a frozen body in there. Said, what kind of crazy person was this? And but no, it was all perfect and divine order, because it was an adventure. And it was an adventure I can even visualize now. And I took a big tub of water and put it on top of an old stove that we had there and heated up water for a bath. Well, now, I didn't need a bath, but it was fun. It was fun to play these games and do these things. They were adventures. They were adventures without purpose. They were adventures without direction, adventures without untoward a meaning to it, you know. What is the adventure of your life? You say, well, my adventures certainly were more impressive than yours. Well, what were your adventures? Your adventures, were they when you graduated from high school or college? Your adventure when you got married? Your adventure when you got your first baby or something? Mm-hmm. Your adventure when you did these different things? Well, now, here, I mentioned high school, I mentioned college, I mentioned getting married and stuff like that, and there was no uh-huh. And then I mentioned the first baby, and all of a sudden, uh-huh, you know? So all of us equate adventure on different levels. Mm-hmm. And we see it on different levels because it touches us in various ways. And for me, the adventures were very simple things, very simple things. I remember when Mark was born. I remember being at the hospital with Faith, and we had done the Lamaze treatment to help her to relax so she could have the baby as naturally as possible. And so I was working on her back, and then they said, gotta go now, took her away. And a few minutes later, there was Mark. And it was wonderful. But I mean, I was there, but I didn't think a thing about it. As far as I was concerned, it wasn't really an adventure. It was a wonderful adventure when you think of having a new birth and something like that. But for me, it was just a normal activity going on. Adventure, to me, is something where you feel a joy in your heart. I felt a joy in my heart with Mark's birth, that's true, but not the same as I was singing to the telephone poles. You know, singing to telephone poles and having your son being born, you compare the two, and you say the telephone poles are more exciting an adventure. Well, yes, really, really, because I couldn't participate much in Mark's birth. I could just stand by and let the doctors do their thing and let Faith do her thing, you know. And so I was sort of an outsider, as we always are with activities that we're not personally involved in doing something. So, but nonetheless, it was a great adventure, but it is not always as great an adventure, not that we're trying to judge them, but as great as an adventure is something which you are personally involved in. So think of anything that you do. Heinz is with us here now for a month, 3 weeks at least, and he has made a decision for himself. He is going to make this 3 weeks appear as though it's forever. And during this time that he's with us, he is going to live like an ascended master. He is going to think like an ascended master, and he's going to be an ascended master. And he will be a beautiful example for all of us, because he will hold the principles that we are training ourselves in such sacredness and such love and such adoration to doing them perfectly, that whatever choices he has in his heart, it's instantly done. It's instantly done. He'll be a lesson to all of us. And so then Ingeborg is going to look at him and say, anything he can do, I can do better, or whatever. And Sylvia says, been there, done that, but I think I'll go back and take a refresher. And Ellen says, I'm teaching refresher courses now. You teach best what you most want to learn. Okay. So these are the wonderful things. And our thought for today is the greatest adventure of my life. So it doesn't matter if you're reminiscing, because you reminisce in the first person present tense positive, you're reminiscing in today. And whatever thoughts come up in the past, you're seeing them from today's perspective of your life. And just remember, you have the perfect right and responsibility to keep history exactly like it was, or rewrite it in any way you want to rewrite it. And it is equally valid. So, today is the greatest adventure of my life. And that's kind of a nice thought for today, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I love you. I love you. I love you. Mm-hmm.